Hey, I'm Dale Spiraghi, love and relationship coach and host of this podcast, New Wave Relationships, about all things relationships, relationship to self, others, more than other, couples, singles, breakups, and dating. What's new in relationships and how relationships are changing and evolving, especially post-COVID, post-digital, post Me Too, and sadly to say, post no Roe versus Wade. So we're talking about finding love and losing love, creating lasting love and lifestyle. I'm thinking of this as a forum for relationships. So please, if you have any burning questions, send them in. Or here's something novel. If you'd like some coaching, if you're struggling with something in your relationship and you'd be willing to do the session here so others can benefit, please email me at dale@creativecourtcoaching.com.
In this episode of the New Wave Relationships podcast, Dale and I will be discussing communication and relationship tools. We will be discussing the importance of healthy communication practices and how we can utilize our communication skills alongside tools. For communication practices, I will be reviewing nonviolent communication and the initiator and inquirer process. For the tools, we will be reviewing three relationship worksheets, being the Relationship Anarchy Smorgasbord, Love Languages Assessment, and Creating a Relationship Ritual. We are going over these practices and tools because Dale and I are always interested in more ways to help relationships be more conscious and clear. Feel free to take notes and listen and or reference these documents in our podcast notes. Hello.
Hello. It's great to hear you and see you.
How are you?
I'm doing well, considering it's a full moon eclipse day. I'm good. Yeah, there's some stuff, but I'm glad I'm here with you. I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, me too. It's definitely some intense information, like heavy load episode today, which me and Dale like to do sometimes, where I bring in some, just very like factual stuff from my psychology degree. So I'm excited to go over this today because it's been a while since I've let my nerd hat come back on. So yeah. And it's interesting, when thinking about this episode, at first I really thought going over the relationship tools, as we were thinking it would be like the relationship toolkit episode, we talk about like five different worksheets kind of thing. And then it's started to sound like, oh, am I just reading directions to people? And that didn't feel very useful. And then I realized the only way that I could really talk about these and have them be applicable to couples is if we talked about communication first as like the backdrop, because, anyone can fill out a worksheet, but like if you can't talk about it in a good way, it's really easy to like cause a relationship dispute pretty quickly.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. And because you're, a researcher extraordinaire, there is a lot here. So just letting our listeners know, we actually have worksheets that we're going to put in the show notes for you. And communication is usually what people come in, especially couples come in for.
Yeah, with any relationship issue, it's like, how are we talking about it? It might not actually be what you think is going on. It's really just like how you're discussing it with each other and that causing damage that could have just been avoided if you were able to learn those practices. And we're just not taught these practices in our society. I mean, we're trusting our parents, their grandparents, their great grandparents, their great, great, great grandparents, And it's like, who's clarifying that knowledge and helping us really learn, like, what is an observation? What is a feeling? What's a judgment versus a feeling? I'll be going over a lot of this in just a second.
Yeah, ancestors, and also taking into account the uniqueness and individuality of couples, of relationships, of people, right, of individuals. So I think in this paradigm of relationships, it's very custom, right, where there isn't a one size fits all. And that's what I really like about these tools, is that they can be adapted. And what you said, so important, Sunny, about it's not the tools, but it's where you're coming from underneath, what the consciousness is. the way that you're talking about it and what you're bringing to these tools. Super important.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get so much more into that once we get into them. But let me just hop right in just to get us there. So two communication practices and styles that I'm going to be talking about are nonviolent communication and the initiator and inquirer process. Like I've said, it's important to have communication be the backdrop when working through any issue or problem in a good way. And we're just not raised with those things. So nonviolent communication is based off a book by Marshall Rosenberg called Nonviolent Communication, A Language of Life. It's from 1999. And I learned about it in college, actually, which was a really helpful time to learn about it because in college, like, your brain is still developing and you are, you know, like a little adult. And so when somebody like tells you like how to think through with speaking and kind of combining this, it's kind of wild that I'm like, I'm in a psychology degree and my holistic health minor is the one kind of teaching me how to communicate about something, you know? And it's almost like I felt like I should have been taught this in like sixth grade. You know what I mean? And there are actually a lot of cool programs like happening in the world where like they're meditating with children at a young age. And like, that's super helpful, super like this, where I'm like, I wish I learned this sooner. And so, yeah, this is more of a study guide. It's not a worksheet. It's not something like you really fill out. But basically within this paradigm, it's a style that keeps kind of conscious awareness and clarity within your discussion. So there's four steps: observation, feeling, need, and request. And so I'm just going to do an example. And one would be, I've noticed that we haven't been spending much quality time together this past week. And Dale, you're welcome to jump in at any time in like these little moments. But notice how in that observation, it says, I've noticed that we haven't been spending much quality time together this past week. It's not like you never spend time with me. So I don't know if you caught anything there. It's like very direct, you know?
Exactly. You're coming from a neutral place of seeing something, like you're saying, you know, this is an observation. You're not bringing some judgment to it.
Yeah. And it's really specific. It's not generalized. It's like this past week or these past few days, right? And just having that clarity. So it's not becoming this assumption, right? Staying away from assumptions and judgments. And so then we go into feeling. So that person, they might say, I feel disconnected and lonely when we don't have time together. Really straight up. That's how I feel. The direct feeling is like, I feel disconnected from you and, you know, a bit lonely when we don't have this time together, right?
Yeah. And again, you're talking from yourself. So you're not judging or blaming. These are all very clean, clear, neutral messages.
Yeah. And the need from that place, I need to feel connected and seen in our relationship. Super valid. That's like really important need, I think. And then the request from that is, could we set aside some dedicated time to be together this next week, just the two of us, to strengthen our bond? You know, so it's really getting to an I statement of observation that's clear in the specifics of it. And it's not blaming. It's not, you did this, you're doing this to me. You know, in a lot of these communication styles we're going to talk about, it's getting into, to be honest, like a Buddhism perspective a bit, where things aren't, you know, no one can make you feel any type of way. Instead, it's how you perceive things around you that predicts your feelings. So if you believe that they're not spending time with you because of some story of your childhood that you're creating, like, they never spend time with me and it's because of me, I'm not blaming you right now for having those feelings, but it's important to de-pattern ourselves from those ways of thinking. And that's what this communication style kind of facilitates, right?
Absolutely. Taking the blame and the judgment and the assumptions, like you were saying, Sunny, out of this, and being very specific and clear about what the need is, what the feeling is, and what you're noticing. So it's simple, right? And when you say Buddhist, so I think you're meaning like there's this unattachment, right? This kind of non-attachment to even the outcome, right? And the other
piece of this that I like is that you're taking ownership. You're seeing something that you're noticing, and then you're asking and you're bringing your feeling into it. So it's all about you rather than pointing the finger and making it all about the other person, mm-hmm. which has a very positive effect on communication.
Definitely. And remember, there's another person here. So they also have to be a part of this. You know, you're not just like saying whatever. Okay. Like there's an empathetic listener on the other end, right? Empathetic listener, actively listening, really taking it in and ensuring that they hear everything correctly. So hop into that. What would they say back to this? For their observation, I hear that we haven't been spending as much quality time together this past week. Their feeling is, I'm sorry that you feel disconnected and a bit lonely when we don't have time together. And the need here, I want you to feel connected and seen in our relationship. They're responding to that need in that way. And then responding to the request, this is where it gets really interesting. And Dale, I'm interested in your thoughts on this. But, you know, the request can come out a different couple ways. This person's responding to the request to want to hang out more, right? There's one person who wants to spend more time with somebody. The responder to that could say, I would love to set aside some dedicated time to be together this next week, just the two of us, and strengthen our bond. Or if things are complicated, this is where it gets interesting. I would love to set aside some time to be together this week. And would you support me making that time? I have to travel the rest of this week. What other requests can we make here to fulfill your need for closeness? Let's brainstorm together. I care about your feelings a lot, which that's an interesting one because I think it's so easy for people to get so set like this need, this specific thing that I need from you is what's going to make me happy. And we've got to be really careful in getting in that dependent mindset because it's not about like the specifics of the things that you need or that you're requesting. It's really about how you can meet those needs and requests about the feeling, right? Does that make sense?
Well, let's unpack it because you're saying so much right here, right? So first of all, the responder, yes, an empathetic, caring, someone who's interested and wants to know what your feelings are, not a defensive, oh, I did something wrong, and, you know, protecting, making excuses, right? So that's really important. Mm-hmm. And not always so, right? Sometimes people's defenses come up. So we're giving you some very ideal ways of communicating, but then our humanity comes into this, and it doesn't always go so well, right? That's why it's called a tool, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other thing you're saying, Sunny, about you may not get this need met. Mm-hmm. That's super important. Mm-hmm. Because what you're doing is you're building relationship, you're building connection. The fact that you can come to someone, you can share a feeling, you can request a need, they can validate that. Even if the answer is no, I can't do it this week. I hear you though. I hear you. I want to be there. I can't do it this week though, right? So that's building connection. Mm-hmm. And that's even more important than actually getting the need met sometimes. That building of connection, that coming to each other, that sharing feelings, needs, requests, being open to hearing, that is actually even more important than sometimes getting the need met. Because it may not always happen.
Totally. I think what you're saying is that it's kind of like truth is deeper than reality, and how, you know, really learning when somebody is just saying or doing something to kind of like make you feel better in a circumstance versus really feeling that even if that person can't give you this kind of human need that you might have, like when you're able to actually feel still cared for and really notice that deeper than the action being done, that's when I think in a relationship, you can really start to notice the building of trust and love. start to actually happen, because you can start one way and end up in the other. But I've usually found relationships that I've been in where it can be very surface level. Like, I'm not going to have that same trust and connection to feeling like, okay, just because they're not here right now doesn't mean it's the end of the world. I think when it's been like worse relationships where I wasn't happy, actually, it would feel more the end of the world sometimes. I don't know if I even explained that right.
Well, I think what you're saying is that we're not putting pressure on someone else to fill us, right? It's different. Making a request is different than you must do this for me in order for me to feel okay.
Whoa. Those are tough, man. Yeah, but that happens. And sometimes those people really feel like they need that or they are not okay. So it does happen, but that's why we're talking about this.
Exactly. And that's where the miscommunication comes in, mm-hmm. right? Because the point of all this is to be together and to hear each other and see each other and validate what's going on. That's the point. And the miscommunication is the, you know, if I'm not going to get this, then screw you, you know, get out of here. I don't want to see you at all. Right. Then, right. So, and that can happen. Push the person away. They're not filling my needs. So it's all about this external validation, mm-hmm. not about actually building this connection. How do we do this together so that we both get our needs met and we have this beautiful connection, right, that we can share?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. And basically, nonviolent communication with this is, interestingly, depatterning codependency and defensive or aggressive ways of communicating that we've learned. And so it will feel different when you've had a type of relationship where it's been like only aggressive and only defensive and only codependent. When you start noticing the tools differences, literally start thinking in these ways yourself, it changes the relationship you're creating. So I probably really practiced doing this actively in my life 3 to 2 years now, because I learned it in college, and then I really had it in a relationship. And I do notice a significant difference in my life in relation to all my relationships with like how I take blame or criticism from others to how I interact with my relationships. And that's a big deal, because the world is so full of blaming, criticism, shame, and anger and pain, you know, from people in their lives, that when you're able to look at it in that way in your own life and simplify it, like it makes a big difference. So, but we can move on, but it is really about expressing how I am without blaming and criticizing, and receiving how they are without hearing blame or criticism. So we'll have a document about it in the show notes. Please take a look at it. Really helpful for everything we're talking about. So moving on from nonviolent communication, the initiator and the inquirer process are very similar to NVC and are definitely derived from. And this process has been created by Dr. Ellen Bader with Couples Institute. And to direct quote from their website, stop angry, hostile fighting and immediately structure more effective interaction. And the difference is this is a layer on top of NVC, and it is more diagnosing and clarifying a specific relationship issue or problem, which also is what NVC is doing, but it kind of has just another way of doing that. So, in this process, there's a different set of steps where you have an initiator and then an inquirer. So somebody is initiating the conversation and the inquirer is asking about it. So it's really about understanding an issue or problem and not getting into really requests yet. What are we talking about? What is the problem? Because talking about issues, you know, it's pretty easy for like a situation to become a person and a person to become a situation, have this just be like amalgamation of problems and issues, when actually it's like there's something someone could be doing or like a way someone could be communicating something. So for example, the steps for the initiator start with
brings up only one issue at a time.
So in this process, you're talking about one thing. You're not talking about, you always do this, you always do that. It's much more about like, this week, I only saw you once and I thought I was going to see you more kind of thing. Like, that's a specific thing. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And there's a coach and an author named Jason Gaddis who actually adds another layer to this. And he calls this the listening until you fully understand. So it's really, again, it's not so much about the issue, but it's about getting the other person and feeling that that person is getting you. So he adds things like curiosity. So be curious about what the person's saying. He adds own your part. Be empathetic. And then come into this shared reality.
Right. And there's a lot of similar models related to NBC that are adding on and taking from. And, you know, this one is just pretty to the point, I think. And, you know, what you're talking about is like repeating until you understand. And like this model has that as well, where, you know, to keep going with the steps, it uses I statements to describe thoughts and feelings about the issue, which we learn how to do in NBC, then describes the issues without blaming or name calling, as learned in NBC. The initiator is open to learning more about themselves than was known before they started talking. That's like the really cool part that I like. So all this, when you read NBC and then you move over to this one, it's like describing that one issue, following those NBC steps with also remembering to learn about yourself and knowing that, like, you're not always right, dude. There's always things to learn and it's easy to mess things up because you're a human being and that's okay. And then the inquirer, the person who's listening, different from the initiator, is listening actively and should recap a description of the issue because it's really important to make sure everyone's on the same page and ask questions to understand the partner's feelings, thoughts, or desires. Right? Similar to probably Jason Gaddis, and then responds with empathy, continues with empathetic responses until a soothing moment occurs for the initiator. Learn at NBC. And that's kind of a niche way to think about it, because once you're with somebody and there's a trigger going on, once you catch that moment as soothing, that's an opportunity for healing. So please definitely take a look at this in the description to get a better look of what I'm saying if I went through them too quickly. Dale, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, well, it's also about really taking the time to slow down and be with the other person. So you're not in your head thinking about the problem and what you're going to say, but the whole point is to be together and understand each other. And I really like the idea too of being able to receive feedback about yourself, learn something about yourself. That's why this element of curiosity is so important, because I think that's different than having an agenda. It's being open. So you're open to hearing feedback. And so again, you know, it's creating a bond and it's building relationships. That's what these tools are doing.
Basically, in both communication styles, NVC and the initiator and inquirer, we're moving from unhealthy ways of relating, such as lack of awareness, unclear, unempathetic, closed off, ignoring, distracted, unaware, blaming, shaming, judgment, assuming, defensive and aggressive, into more situations of healthy relating, where the process is becoming open, self-aware, clear, empathetic, understanding, asking, receiving, listening, seeking, and learning, self-discovery, consciousness, and growth. And I think a really easy way to look at how to communicate with somebody and how to interact with a partner and how to be in relationship is think of which words you're falling into more in your relationship. And that's a good place to start. Am I really trying to learn and grow and be really conscious and honest and seeking openness with my partner? Or am I like judging them? Am I being closed off? Right? I think it's important to do that, because the way we actively relate to our relationships reflects the reality of how those are being.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've talked about this on lots of our episodes, but it's the difference between being willing and engaging as an adult, as a mature adult, mm-hmm. and coming in from a needier, younger place mm-hmm. where you're expecting, you have expectations of someone else taking responsibility for you. Mm-hmm. So here you have two adults that are owning their own stuff and seeing each other and hearing each other.
Definitely. And we have the ability to create the relationships we want to be having. So we can choose by using tools like this and engaging in ways with how we do problem solving, you know, looking at the sheets, using them, learning from them. That changes fundamentally how your relationship is if you choose to, because you're changing how you're interacting and working with them and communicating with them. Very simple. And another part of that I'm just going to move into, and I'm just going to glance over because I have the sheets in the show notes, but in both of these, we have, you know, judgments and observed feelings, and those are different things. And I just want to make that difference because, Dale, what you're saying about learning to de-pattern and unattach from a partner, part of that is in the language. And so for an example, I think a lot of days, a lot of people feel abandoned. So I thought I would just hop into that word. It's easy to accidentally project or misrepresent what we are feeling onto our partners without having the proper vocabulary. So for example, just throw it in there. The word abandoned is almost a feeling, but it's kind of a verb-like feeling where it can imply the other person did something actively to do that to you. Like they are doing this, you abandoned me. And that can sound threatening, not only to the other person's autonomy, but it can create a story of kind of where people are gaslighting unintentionally or confusing each other with what they actually mean. Or when we evaluate abandoned more deeply into it being a feeling and less action-oriented, the feeling is actually terrified, hurt, bewildered, sad, frightened, or lonely. And when we use the word abandoned, we're making that other person responsible a bit for our experience and putting it on them. Like, yes, we do feel abandoned, but we're actually, as a single individual, feeling hurt and terrified. So words like disliked, bullied from, dumped on, we got to be careful because, you know, what we really need in that circumstance is nurturing, connection, belonging, support, and care, things like that. But it's just really easy to threaten our partners and, you know, push them away when we call them criminals and villains and, you know, when we actually feel a certain way from their actions. So Dale, did you have anything you throw in there to help me clarify that? I'm trying to make it really simple.
Absolutely. What you're speaking to is that safety, really, right? The safety to be able to bring something vulnerable to your partner or who you're in a relationship with. So it's going underneath the surface. It's what's beneath that. Like, you know, you threw abandonment out. That's a huge one, right? Because often we're doing the abandoning and we're abandoning ourselves. So going, you know, first stepping into that, how are we doing that? So it goes back to, you know, taking ownership, being an adult and seeing how, again, we're relying on some external something or person to be with us in our whatever we're needing or going through. And that's great if that can happen. Mm-hmm. But often that abandonment is really coming from self.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And that totally goes into Catherine Woodward Thomas stuff, I think, too, because it is so much being responsible for your feelings is like a huge deal and it makes a huge difference. And being responsible for the relationships we choose to get in and having compassion, empathy for those relationships and for those moments and understanding that we all have conditioning that makes us act out in certain ways and really having compassion. I just want to say, like, for people who maybe have used this language or actively do use language in this episode that makes one think that they're unhealthy or like a bad person, I just want to say for a second that it's like, we all learn from whoever we're raised with, the situations we're in, and all these things can change. But change has to start with the individual, and like having compassion and understanding that, you know, language can really hurt, and we have the opportunity to not do that. It's really easy to allow other people in relationships to kind of run our lives, sadly, by our own perspectives of what's going on and how we just interact. I hope that didn't sound too vague.
No, I think that's beautiful. And I think that's spot on. And these tools are just what they are. They're tools. They're a starting place. And you're right. What models, many of us haven't had models for what healthy communication is. We don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's not our fault. So if we can go to one of these tools to start just to learn, it's a place to begin to open and learn a better way, right? That's what these models are for.
I'm trying to think about really quick, like in my life, just examples of like the changes I've noticed in my communication styles. It's an interesting question.
You know, I can jump in because I think for me, I notice is that I don't go to being victimized so quickly, right? I don't feel like something's happening to me, like, oh, there it is again, right? It's like this thing that's happening. So not being a victim and looking at it from a different, from ownership, or like, how am I creating this? How am I co-creating this? You access some power. You're not in this place of being this, you know, helpless, victimized person.
Definitely. It's kind of like a flip. Some people can feel like blamed and criticized, or I'm trying to think of a way to just flip what you're saying, because it's like when you do start taking responsibility and ownership and practicing compassion awareness for how you're being, it suddenly becomes so much easier to just be in strength and have interactions that feel normal. And I think I'm at a point with my current relationship where I am noticing I get these moments where I am like, okay, so hypothetically, or no, I'll just go right into it. Basically, you know, we are together and I know that I'm a very individual person, and yet I'm super extroverted and I can have fun. I can hang out and have a great time for a long time. I got a lot of energy. You know, I got to run. I got to go surfing. I got to go play music and all this stuff. And when I have a partner, I'm always so nervous of getting in codependent enmeshment a lot. And so I decided to be like, instead of saying I need space from you, I've started saying I'm creating space for myself. You know, I'm creating space in this relationship because it's not that like I need space from him, or like I even really want to take it all the time. It's like I'm just trying to like set myself up for having my individual space because I'm so easy to enmesh with. And then the response I get when I say it is like, okay, well, I'm going to go do my thing. And I'm like, wait, like, you don't want to enmesh with me? Like, you don't want me to freak out right now? Like, it's really funny. And I'm still like getting used to that, getting used to the like, okay, great, your need, request given. And I'm just like, all right, like just kind of, all right, just like trying to, like almost trying to get myself to believe that, you know?
Yeah, well, that's interesting. So what happens to you when he says, okay, bye, like go take your space, I'm leaving? What happens inside of you?
I will feel this like, oh, I'm gonna miss him kind of thing. And then I'll also feel some relief of like, okay, now I've got my space right now and it feels good. And I have to really kind of work with myself and remind myself that, like, to stay actively engaged with, like, what I'm doing in my body, in my moment, in my life, like, not their life, my life. Like, today I'm recording my podcast. Then I'm going to go to Ace and buy more leather working gear. Then I'm going to work on some leather. And then maybe if I'm feeling really good, I'll meditate.
Well, Sunny, you and I have one thing in common, is we have this anxious attachment style, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is really what you're speaking to when this happens, right? Mm-hmm. This balance between, you know, time with ourselves, like that autonomy, and mm-hmm. how much we love being with our partners and want that connection. And then that the transitions, right? Mm-hmm. So when we have this kind of attachment, it doesn't always go so smoothly.
Yeah.
These, you know, separating, coming together, being apart.
Yeah.
That work, those intricacies are different for different attachment styles.
Yes. I remember some of my first relationships where we hung out all the time, never thought about taking space, and anxious, you know, anxiety attacks all the time. And so I think it's a sensitivity thing, a building thing that takes time to really change, like notice the changing from like the language into the experience. Like you know, I've been doing this for about 2 to 3 years of changing just the language. Now I'm actually starting to notice the embodied experience of how it feels when it actually is working. And I'm still getting used to it, you know? So I just recommend what we're talking about today with just, you know, even if it's kind of an info dump and we have our worksheets and everything, like really give it a shot and like see how you feel and make it a habit, because I've made it a habit and now I'm like at the threshold of like feeling that physically. And I'm like, whoa, interesting.
I'm with you. I feel it also. I feel that embodiment, and it's really working with self. It's working with myself. It's not only working with the other. It's how am I relating to myself differently? Because you can become securely attached. Like, there's ways to do that. Mm-hmm. Attachment styles aren't carved in stone, right? We can, they're malleable, mm-hmm. and we can change them. And with practices, there you actually can change the way you attach, mm-hmm. and become healthier and become stronger in self and other, right? And that makes your relationship better too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like building a muscle, right?
Yeah. How about we take a short break? And we're back from that short break. Dale and I just wanted to finish up with some of our relationship tools we haven't gotten into just yet. But now we've just finished our communication portion and we're going into our relationship tools portion. So just to list them off the bat, we have the relationship anarchy smorgasbord, which is hard to pronounce sometimes, love languages assessment, and creating a relationship ritual. And obviously there's like so many worksheets out there, but you know, you get to pick which one's right for you. And I just picked these three because I thought they were good starter kits. And I just want to say a couple things on when using relationship tools or worksheets with partners or new people, like people who are not partnered with yet.
A new relationship might benefit from discussing the topics,
just like on the worksheets, just in a conversation, and some might really benefit from like check marking and really going in and doing them. So it's really up to you and your relationship how you authentically relate to doing that kind of work. Me and my partner we were thinking about doing it for the episode and like going through each thing, but we realized since we're in such a new relationship that we didn't really want to kill the discovery of what we're doing, and we feel safe in all, you know, kind of our goals in the relationship right now. So for example, the Relationship Anarchy Smorgasbord by Andy Nordgren.
And also, this model has been changed up a bunch of times
from the ethical non-monogamous community. For this one, it's basically a worksheet that has all these bubbles, and it talks about how to design your relationship. And it has things like kinks, financials, types of affection, all kinds of different topics all over it. And you can pick yes, maybe, no. You're right. How much? You can really go on it and have two people really like fill it out and see if you guys match up. And, you know, you can also just have that conversation and use it together. You don't need to fill it out. You just be like, oh, I think that's interesting. What do you think of that? And make it a dialogue. So it's really how you want it. I do think if two people in any of this stuff, if you're like trading homework, maybe trade homework away from each other. Like give it to the other person, go in a different room a little bit, because you could have an ick about something maybe in any of the worksheets, right? Where it's like, oh, that's not for me. And remember, that's your problem. Anyone's allowed to have whatever kinks and needs and wants that they want to have. So if something doesn't work for you, remember NVC, like be polite about those kind of things. So the smorgasbord is kind of it for people who are polyamorous. It's a good like starting off kind of point for designer relationships, but for monogamous people, it's still a great thing you can use. And it helps you find complex styles of dating unless you want to discover it yourself. Dale, do you have any questions or curiosities?
Yeah, I just want to add that, you know, just emphasizing that these are tools and the point is that you're creating shared reality and connection. So you're not trying to push something on someone. You know, you're not trying to get something done. You're not coming in with this big agenda, right? Mm-hmm. And some of these tools are great for beginning a relationship. Some of these tools are great if you've been in a relationship for a really long time and you want to breathe some fresh life into your relationship, right? So
Totally.
Having an intention, knowing why you're using these, what the impact will be, what's the intention, the outcome that you want, I think is important. And you can, you know, talk about that first. Like, why are we doing this? What do we want from this? And what are we hoping for? And then take your attachment style into consideration, right? So know, you know, when you're using this, especially the nonviolent communication, take your particular way of being and being in the world and relating. Be compassionate with yourself and understanding first of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can share that and be together in that.
Definitely. And yeah, just like Dale saying, some tools are relevant for couples where others are not at different times. And your intention, very important. Is it for curiosity? It is definitely not for judgment. And it is for finding alignment, I would say too. And yeah, self-discovery. And so jumping into the next one that is, I think, even simpler than Relationship Anarchy Smorgasbord. Like I said, that's about designing, clarifying, complex relationship building. Now we're moving into love languages assessment. This one's really cute. It's really just finding out what type of love two people might want to share and do together. And on this worksheet, which I have here below, you know, you're able to write your own examples. You know, you go from what type of relationship, you know, love language style works for you the best. Like, right, remember, it's acts of service, gifts, physical touch, quality time, words of affirmation. Each partner can do this, then tell each other about it. Or you can just have one sheet and like talk about it. This one's a really, I think, a pretty safe one for anyone to really engage with. And just to give credit where credit's due, by Dr. Gary Chapman in his book, The Five Love Languages, The Secret to Love That Lasts, from 1992. That's the love languages classic. Yeah, I think that was just really simple and it's cute and sweet. And you guys can like think about like what thing you want to do together and like, you know, what words you want to hear and like what's fun to do. Acts of service are in. And then finally, for the last sheet, we have, this is for people in a relationship and finding more ways to have more intimate and scheduled maybe relationship rituals. So it's the creating a relationship ritual. And I tried finding like a really good like direct source on this, but so many people have done this work and you know, ritual. That's a word of the ancients. So I can't really give credit to anyone there. But the creating a relationship ritual worksheet is just a idea sheet about how we can, with a partner, create activities to do together to bring more intimacy. So how you interact with arrivals and departures, an evening walk, sharing a meal, a mini date, getting your bodies moving, going to a book club, just the two of you. And some of the tips on this sheet are just be together, keep it simple, make it a priority, eliminate distractions. I really like that one a lot. Be completely present and do it consistently. So it's really in keeping a relationship intimate and, you know, keeping the consciousness up. So all these are a little different.
Sunny, yeah, you know, speaking about this ritual, when my partner and I first started dating, he would have flowers for me whenever I would come over and they'd be near the bed. And that was just such like a sweet way to create this like sacredness, right? Like that sense of really the specialness that of our connection. So candles, flowers, you know, really things like that are a way to create that ritual in relationship.
So would you say that you're like a gifts person?
You know, I'm not. Oddly enough, I am really a quality time person. That is my love language. But it was just, we were getting to know each other. So to me, that was a gesture of love, right? When I walk in and I would see those flowers near the bed, on my side of the bed, on the night table, that would feel like I was really loved.
Totally. Yeah, I would like that too. I know what I want now. But yeah, and you know, looking at each of these just to finish up, like relationship anarchy smorgasbord is really about, you know, learning what two people want. Love languages, once again, is diagnosing and learning about each other. And creating a relationship ritual is really about making something together and trying to have, you know, more activities and alignment, clarity, togetherness, and intimacy in a relationship. So with all of these, how we communicate what we want, what we need, tying it back to the beginning, is super important, because none of these tools should be used as a shaming, blaming kind of situation, or, you know, learning new things about a partner can always bring up feelings of insecurity or confusion. But with patience, you know, some breathing time and some communication aids, such as nonviolent communication and the initiator and the inquirer process, things like this you can use and play with, and you can learn more about each other and get to know, you know, things you didn't know about somebody and not take them personally and stay autonomous and keeping your relationship in, you know, good consciousness and well-being, you know?
Yeah. And staying open to each other, because I think what happens sometimes in relationships is we think we know someone and then we kind of get, that's where we get stuck. That's where we grow into these ruts. So just keeping it like we really don't, because we're not who we were yesterday, right? We're always growing and changing. So being open to your partner as they're evolving and who they are and what, and then coming back to what are we creating together? So that's the beauty of having some tools like this. And we're going to put all of these worksheets in the show notes for you all. And, yeah, let us know. Please let us know if you use one or all and how it went.
Yeah, please do. Show notes. And I'm going to have some extra sheets that I just find helpful related to this topic. And I'm going to cite, you know, other resources such as, and also Dale, please keep up with what she's doing. She has a newsletter coming up.
So yes, look for the March newsletter for info on creative coaching. Creative Core Coaching, and New Wave Relationship Podcasts.
All right, cool. Well, thank you, Dale. Super appreciate it. And I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Sunny. So great to be together today. Loved it.
If you would like to join the conversation, please email Dale and I questions at sunny.nwrpodcast@gmail.com. Relating to anything dating and relationships. Please Please tune in with us every time we upload for more integrative conversations relating to the self and other. If you are interested in Dale Spiraghi's relationship coaching, please email her at dale@creativecorecoaching.com for private coaching sessions. Don't forget to follow our Instagram and Facebook at New Wave Relationships Podcast. We hope you join us next time for New Wave Relationships.